talking Blue Jays right now. The Big Show, Sportsnet 960.
Dan Schulman will join us here in a couple of minutes from ESPN Saturday Night Baseball. And, of course, he's been calling the games on Sportsnet this week as Texas and Toronto meeting for the first time since the postseason. Now, did we ever – I know at the beginning of this – are they going to plunk Bautista? Are they going to go out? We haven't had any of that, have we?
No.
No retribution?
No. Seems like – no, there's still one more game to go. You never know.
You know who's mad? Gossage. Goose Gossage will be mad.
Why aren't we throwing it?
Why aren't we throwing it
and
that
Bautista, that guy. Bad for the game of baseball. Yeah, I forgot about old Goose and his thoughts on Jose.
We will join the Jays and the Rangers in progress tonight at 6 o'clock, and then following that game, we'll go to the San Jose-Nashville game. Boy, we got a busy Saturday. Did you see that?
Yeah, four games.
Four games on Saturday here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Yeah. If you like your live play-by-play, I think you're going to dig Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday will be a busy day. It will be a lot of, and now we're off to here. And now we shuttle and we're going to here. It's a big game for the Blue Jays. They've walked off two straight. They've got an opportunity to win a series. And they've got an opportunity to, hopefully start to turn the tide in terms of the way things have gone offensively. Because when you're talking about guys like Troy Tulowitzki and Russell Martin both hitting below 200 right now, you need something to spark them. And Tulowitzki maybe hasn't had that, but Russell Martin walks off last night. He's 2-for-4 last night. He was one of the quieter, important pieces of this team last year with what he did near the bottom of the order. And you need more offense from Russell Martin. So I'm hoping last night can be a big night for him. I'm hoping that, a series win potentially over the Rangers here can be big for the Jays psyche-wise as they go forward, too.
Later on in the hour, Mark Giordano, the captain of the Calgary Flames, will join us. We'll talk about the decision this week to move on from Bob Hartley as the head coach and the new search for a head coach here with the Flames. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet joins us at 4:45 with the news out of Arizona. We'll talk to Chris about that, plus some playoff conversation. 5 o'clock this afternoon, Mark Crawford, longtime NHL coach, will join us. And Cassie Campbell, Pascal from Sportsnet, coming up at 5:25. Right now, though, always a pleasure to spend some time with our next guest from ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. And this week, he's been working at Sportsnet, calling the Jays Texas series. Dan Schulman joins us this afternoon. Mr. Schulman, how are you?
I'm well. How you doing?
Excellent. I want to start right off by picking up on a word you used last night at the conclusion of the broadcast, which is grinding out wins. That's certainly what the Jays have done here in the last couple of games against Texas.
Absolutely. I mean, they have not been the juggernaut this year that they were last year, and it seems like for most of every game, they're down a run, and then they have found a way to win the last two in the late innings. It can take a lot out of you, but if you're going to grind that hard, you may as well at least win them, and it could serve them well later on. It's a different season, and it's a different situation, and right now they're not able to pummel people like they did. I still would like to see them execute a little better. There have been some base-running mistakes. Some guys haven't gotten bunts down. They're not getting guys in from third. Those things are going to have to get better if they're going to continue winning close games.
So if I'm a casual observer, Dan, should I be looking at this as a, waiting for the bats to come around? Or is it possible that that's just, as you say, it's a new season, it's a new team. Is that, way of playing, the way of winning last year gone, and they're going to play more like this?
Well, I think the truth will probably be somewhere in the middle. I'm not sure we can expect them to score 900 runs again. Everybody had great seasons, and not everybody is going to have a great season. They've got to get Tulowitzki going, and Bautista hasn't hit a whole lot lately, although he had an RBI single. I think the real measure of this team is somewhere between what we're seeing now and somewhere what we saw last year. The starting pitching's been really good, the bullpen so-so, and the offense so-so. And I think there will probably be a whole lot more 3-2 and 4-3 games this year than there were last year.
Is there anybody that you noticed, Russ Martin, for instance? I mean, that was big for him last night. But is anybody beginning to work, get out of a funk? Any of the guys we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks?
Well, the guys who have hit well, Pilar looks good, and Saunders looks good, and Barney in limited bats looks good, and obviously Donaldson looks good. But not huge signs. Maybe Encarnacion hitting the home run, because he hadn't done a whole lot lately. That'll help him. Tulowitzki's the big guy. I mean, when Tulowitzki hits, the lineup is really long. And I see him taking a lot of pitches. I see him. It just feels like it's in his head a little bit. Like he's really beating himself down because things aren't going well. They dropped him from 5 to 6. I think Martin's going to be okay. I mean, he's hitting the ball to right field, which is what he's very good at. I think he's going to be fine. But the big one is Tulowitzki, and I don't think they know what to do to get him going. For a guy who's had so much success, it really seems like he's fighting himself right now.
Found out this week the decision to go to a platoon, Goins and Barney at second base. What do you make of that?
I think it's a good move. I mean, I'm a huge Ryan Goins fan, but he's not swinging the bat very well right now. And Darwin Barney's a capable player, and he's a right-handed bat. So to have Barney in there for a few games against lefties to see how he does, absolutely. Barney won a gold glove with the Cubs in 2012. He's a terrific defender. I think right now the best situation for the Blue Jays at second base is to platoon them.
Dan Schulman, our guest here on The Big Show. Pat?
Dan, we're getting set for a really important day for Tim Lincecum as his showcase goes tomorrow. Around 20 Major League Baseball teams will go out and work him out. How much interest is there, though, beyond tomorrow in Tim Lincecum around the league?
Well, that'll be determined by what they see tomorrow. There will be 20 scouts there with radar guns. And if it says 85, I don't think there's going to be much interest. If it says 89 or 90, then I think there's a chance there will be interest. You know, the saying, you can never have enough pitching, that saying exists for a reason. And I think somebody will probably take a flyer on him, but I don't think anybody knows what they're going to see. I mean, he's had hip injuries and shoulder injuries, and the velocity's way down from where he was at his peak. And I don't know. I think we need to take a wait-and-see approach. You know, the notion of him coming back and being anything close to the Lincecum of 6-7 years ago when he won a couple of Cy Youngs, to me, that's not going to happen. Maybe he can help somebody out of a bullpen or something like that, but I think everybody needs to see what he shows at that session tomorrow.
What does history tell us, and I guess what does your gut tell you? Is he still potentially an effective major leaguer in some sort of role?
If he's thrown reasonably hard. I don't think he can do it at 85, 86. If he's at 89, 90, then I think it's possible. Can it be as a starter? I don't know. I don't know if he can fool people three times around in the lineup. You know, he did have one year where he was out of the rotation for the Giants, I think 2012, and pitched extremely well out of the bullpen in the postseason. But again, you know, until we know what he shows, until the guys with the radar guns tell us what they see tomorrow, I'm not sure anybody can make an accurate guess.
So let's say tomorrow goes okay for Lincecum. Do you see a potential fit being there with Toronto?
Not really, to be honest with you. And I know the Blue Jays are supposedly on the list of teams that are going to see him. You know, who would he replace in the rotation? So definitely not as a starter with Toronto. Maybe as a reliever, but is he going to be better than some of the guys they have in middle relief right now? I think the most likely role for him is either as a starter on a team that really is hurting for starting pitching, or is like a multiple-inning middle reliever, and the Blue Jays don't need that kind of a guy.
Dan, seems like most eyes are on the highly anticipated series this weekend between the Cubs and the Nationals. So many eyes will be focused on it over the weekend. Just before we get into the matchup itself, just a thought on what has been a historic start for the Cubbies.
It really has been. I think they've outscored their opponents by like 93 runs or something crazy like this. And I mean, they just beat a very good Pittsburgh team soundly. They outscored them, I think it was 20-5 in the three games. And they've got great talent, a great manager, a very strong farm system. You know, they picked up Jason Hayward, who's a good player. They picked up John Lackey, who's a proven veteran pitcher. And I think the quietest one of the three, I think Ben Zobrist was a great pickup for them because he's a good guy in the clubhouse. He's a veteran. He's been on winning teams. He's a switch hitter. He can play like six different positions. Whatever you need, he'll give you. And I think the Cubs are legit. I picked them to win the World Series before the season, which doesn't make me any different than half the people who were picking because a lot of people think they're great. But, you know, Arrieta is as good as last year, and that's huge. The bullpen has been very good. And Bryant and Rizzo have a chance to be as good a 3-4 combo as there is in baseball for the next 10 years. I love those two guys.
When you take a look at the matchup, these two teams will face each other with winning percentages over 700. First time two teams have faced this good this late in the season since 2002. How do you handicap this matchup?
I think the Cubs are a better team. Washington, and I really believe Washington is a very good team, but they had an extraordinarily easy month of April. They played a lot of Marlins, a lot of Phillies, and I know the Phillies have a good record right now, and they actually swept Washington in a series, a lot of Atlanta and some of the other weaker teams. I think Washington's schedule has been easier. I think Chicago's a better team. But, you know, in a short series, anything could happen. Like I said, the Phillies just swept the Nationals. I mean, crazy stuff happens in baseball, much more so than in any sport. But this will be a good litmus test for both teams because right now they sure appear to be the two strongest teams in the National League.
Dan, let's talk a little bit about Sunday Night Baseball because it's the second week in a row you get the same opponents but different venue.
Different venue, different pitchers as well. Luis Severino will start for the Yankees, a guy I think they thought would be their number two starter going into the season, and just 22 years of age, but he was so good last year. But his ERA is over 6 this year, and by all accounts, it appears sometimes as if he's a little bit nervous or flustered on the mound. The phrase you hear from Yankee people is the game's speeding up on him. They're trying to help him slow it down. And Stephen Wright starts for the Red Sox, who's a knuckleballer. He and R.A. Dickey are the only two knuckleballers in Major League Baseball right now. And Wright's been the best starter for Boston. I mean, David Price has not done all that well. So it's, you know, the Yankees had a good game last night, finally broke out, scored 7 runs, but A-Rod's on the DL. And, boy, they're just counting so heavily on so many guys, older players, who are not performing well right now. The Yankees are better than they've been, but I don't think they're good enough to be a contender.
As always, my friend, appreciate this. We will talk to you next Thursday. Enjoy the game tonight and enjoy Sunday Night Baseball.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Dan Shulman. From ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, and of course Sportsnet. He's calling the Jays series against the Texas Rangers. Again, another guy in the category of just give him the phone book, let him read it, I'll listen.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty tough not to sit up and pay attention when one of the best in the business is talking about baseball. So that series between the Cubs and the Nationals, that's a really, really good one. And I like that zap that Will sent us. First time that via the Elias Sports Bureau, first time two teams with 700 winning percentages or better have met this late in a season since May of 2002. So it's been 14 years since we've seen two teams go head-to-head this good. Something about, you know, I know there's still hundreds of games to go this year, but for each team, but something about kind of these early summer, late spring marquee matchups that always do. So I remember I got the opportunity the year that both teams ended up not getting into divisional round series because Chicago fell off and Texas lost in the wild card game, but I was in Texas in July, and it was a showdown between the White Sox and the Rangers for top spot in the Central, and top spot in the American League, rather. And it was like hyped up, and it was only July. Like there's still lots of baseball to be played. Something about matchups like this that even in the regular season, pretty cool.
No, and it seemed like I don't know about you, but it seemed like Chicago for a number of years, probably since Bartman, every year was. Is this, you know, we talked about the curse and we talked about the, you know, just the drought and all of that. Yet, since Chris Bryant's come over last year and they really kind of, you know, took off, they went out and got Joe Maddon, who's not a bad baseball guy, right?
Pretty decent track record.
I just, you don't hear that. It just is almost like, no, this is a legitimate team. This is, they have now ascended. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. This club is going to be in a World Series.
And
got to stay healthy. I mean, that goes without saying. But.
And now it's just kind of, okay, is there going to be something crazy that happens that derails that? Kind of a la Steve Bartman and Moises Alou. But
yeah,
when you take a look at that lineup, when you factor in the way Jake Arrieta's pitched the last year and a bit, it's tough to find a lot of holes in this lineup right now.
Right.
Bryant smacks the tar out of that thing, and I mean, it's a good team, and they've been building towards this. With the young talent they had, you knew there was a lot of promise, and it all came together. It doesn't always come together like that, but it did. And they went out, and Dan talked about the acquisitions. You know, Ben Zobrist was an impact acquisition. They went out and made some big moves after going out in the NLCS this past year, and they didn't put up that much of a fight in the NLCS. The Mets took it to them last year.
Yep.
So there's a little bit more of, okay, there's some urgency here. We know we're good, but just like every team in pro sports knows, there's a window. And so the Cubs know that there's a window, and they've got to make sure they do something while their window is wide open. Right now it's wide open, so some of the acquisitions they made this winter were huge.
Kind of a minor note, and I just, so we don't gloss over it, Team Canada plays Team USA tomorrow at the World Hockey Championships in St. Petersburg. It gets going. McDavid versus Matthews.
Yeah.
And you know this Matthews kid much better than McDavid. That's what
I'm reading. You're starting the narrative now? You're going to be the guy?
Did you see the story in the hockey news about the debunking the three biggest myths on Auston Matthews?
No.
Oh, you should. It's good reading because it really is. It's the same every year, but a couple of them, and I don't want to give it away because it's their work, but one of them is, well, the Leafs won't take him. And then the other one is he won't go there. And then there's a couple other ones in there. So,
well, remember, Connor McDavid was going to walk off the set and leave. Remember, like, there's no way McDavid's going to go to Edmonton. I think he played in Edmonton and played all right and enjoyed playing there this past year. So I just remember after the draft lottery last year when they showed McDavid and it's like he wasn't smiling.
Oh, and what about Tim Murray?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't like Jack Eichel. We're disappointed, so you don't want Jack Eichel and that whole thing?
Yeah.
You know, and then these poor kids had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning where they were and then look like they're ecstatic.
I love McDavid's quote prior to this year's lottery. He said, make sure you smile or else people will think that you don't want to be there.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's a guy that's been through this process.
He knows what it's all about.
He knows exactly what it's all about. A guy who knows what it's all about is Mark Giordano, the captain of the Calgary Flames. We're going to hear from him next. We're live on location, the brand new location, as a matter of fact. This location, brand new. South Street Burger Company, 17th Avenue.
Not even a month old.
Stony Trail, Southeast. You're going to get here and you're going to go, is that really? Yep, it's here. It's brand new.
Yeah.
They're just building up around here. A lot has opened up, a lot more to come. Now, this is going to be a very, very popular place, Pat. It is already. I mean, it's lots of traffic in here today. And that's good because today, Brian and the gang are matching dollar for dollar all their sales, and they're going to make a donation to Red Cross to help with the Fort McMurray relief. And, of course, we here at Rogers as well want to encourage you, if you want to donate $10, text the word FIRES, F-I-R-E-S, to 45678. That's FIRES, F-I-R-E-S, to 45678. And a $10 donation to the relief of Fort McMurray will be made on your behalf. Visit mymcmurray.com for updates and more information as it happens. Mark Giordano around the corner here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The big interviews, the big stories, the big opinions. It's The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, Calgary.
Well, the Calgary Flames are looking for a new head coach. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Dave Lowry, who won the Western Hockey League Coach of the Year, the head man, the bench boss of the Victoria Royals. Eric Dehatchuk was on with the morning show, and he talked about who and what the new coach might look like in Calgary, and it could be Dave Lowry.
What type of coach are you looking for? Because there's a number of candidates out there. You know, like if you go into the sphere of, you know, the Mark Crawfords, the Randy Carlisles, the Ron Wilsons, is that the type of guy you're looking for? I'm going to say no, because I think that the team still needs to be taken to another level before you can legitimately call yourself a playoff contender year after year after year. So then, do you look for what Philadelphia tried to do, or New Jersey, you know, and hire a Dave Hackstall, one of those bolt out of the blue type hires? And I think Lowry would be that, but you know, both Philadelphia and New Jersey had success with those types of hires, and so I think that it would feel like less of a gamble, and especially because, as you say, that, you know, the people that are in the organization here are very familiar with Dave Lowry, and he's had some success, and he has a little bit of that old school push hard style, but obviously he's able to, when you have that kind of success in junior, communicate and work well with young players, which I think is going to be an important part of the job there. So I would put him on the list for sure. I'm convinced that they'll interview him, and then it's just a matter of how he does in the interview and then how they stack up his resume against all the other people.
Dave Lowry, talked to him yesterday. I'm going to talk to Mark Crawford today. There's lots of candidates, Pat. Based on our conversation yesterday, I got thinking, you know, could you get up to 70 or 80 names? I'm not saying 70 or 80 interviews. I'm just saying 70 or 80 names. Probably.
Yeah, you could probably. And I was responding to a couple of people on Twitter yesterday, and my point that I kept using was, right now, I don't think you can write off any realistic name. Like, because the process has just gotten started. I don't think you can sit there and say no to any realistic. Now, okay, like if you're going to throw out, well, what about my minor hockey coach? Well, okay, let's not go crazy. Or what about Rob Kerr? Let's not go crazy.
I've withdrawn my name.
You've withdrawn your name?
I've withdrawn my name.
But, I mean, yeah, if you're starting to talk about American League coaches, NHL assistant coaches, coaches who aren't, you know, junior coaches, coaches who aren't coaching right now, I think you could probably make a legitimate argument for all of those guys because the process is still so young.
A guy who's probably got an interesting perspective and one that we need to hear from is the captain of the Calgary Flames, Mark Giordano. You had a chance to talk to him today.
Yeah, and lots of stuff that we got into, but started right away by asking him 48 hours after the fact his reaction to Tuesday's news.
The initial reaction is, no matter what you hear or the rumblings, I think the initial reaction is always, you know, there's that initial shock and surprise. I had a good relationship with Bob, and he did a lot for me. Him and Jacques did a lot for me in my career. I mean, I enjoyed playing for them and learning details and defensive zone awareness. I mean, they're really, really detail focused and probably helped a lot of guys, not just myself, as far as that went. And then you start thinking about it, and you look at it as a player. You look at it like you let someone down. So it was a tough few days. Now the next thing is you look at it and you got to get better and move on as an organization. But it makes the summer that much more important.
Is that kind of what it's been like for the entire team? Kind of like a wake up call, and you kind of feel like maybe you let somebody down.
Yeah, I mean that's what I think. You, as a player, you always stay. I've unfortunately this happens, in our business more often than in other, I should say, businesses or other areas of life. But I've been through a few of these, and I think being captain this year, this time around, makes it a little bit tougher. I think, I feel a lot of the responsibility. I think our group, had so many things go right for us the year before, and then this year was sort of inconsistent, and we just couldn't find that next level. So at the end of the day, as players, we got to look at it like it's on us as players. The coaches deliver the message in their system, and it's up to us to execute. So, the one thing I will say is next year, we use that as motivation, and everyone comes into camp fresh and ready to go.
As the captain, do you, like, in a situation like this, do you do anything different? Do you call guys? Do you text guys? Are you kind of starting to get a little bit more communication after something like this happens?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of texts and then talking to guys on the phone back and forth when it initially happened. And, I'm just trying to, the message now has to be like, okay, we're getting a new coach, and this, for some guys, there's a clean slate and it's a new opportunity. And for other guys, it's a chance to sort of prove ourselves again and play in a different system and hopefully succeed. So I guess the message to the players is, okay, the coach took the fall basically, but it's on us. We have to be a lot better and a lot more consistent as a group of players.
In conversation with Flames captain Mark Giordano on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, I know Brian Burke used the term, and Brad Treliving kind of used the term as well, that maybe inside that locker room, Bob kind of had reached his best before date, and it was time for a new message. Did Bob's message or Bob's approach start to wear thin from the player's perspective, do you think?
Well, I just think, I don't know, it's tough to say as a player. I just felt like... we were just so inconsistent, and we just couldn't, all year it just felt like we couldn't, even when we had that run, we couldn't get over the hump and make that extra push that we needed. I think that's what management saw and made their choice based on that. But Bob was a motivating guy. He tried to push you as hard as he can, and he was sometimes tough on guys, and that's what was needed at the time. But I'm sure, like I said, there'll be certain guys who feel like it's a clean slate and they can come in and get a fresh look. And then there's other guys who will you know, you gotta sort of come in and try and prove again and play in a different system and learn a different system and then get going. But right across the board, it's a fresh start, and we got to use that as like motivation and bring a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the reason was, it just last year wasn't good enough, and we just didn't have that extra gear that we needed.
Has to be strange for you because Bob's the guy that made you captain. He's the only coach that you've known as captain of this team. Has that kind of started to sink in for you yet?
Yeah, for sure. I think for sure. Bob, you know, he put a lot of trust into me. He talked to me a lot, sort of had my input on a lot of things. And I think it's tough being a captain. This is my first time going through a coach being fired when I'm a captain. And, you know, it's just you feel a lot of the responsibility on your shoulders, and I'm sure a lot of the other guys on the team do as well. I mean, at the end of the day, we're the guys on the ice who are, you know, performing and executing, and at the end of the day, we're the players, we're the guys who didn't execute and didn't get the job done. So we'll take this as a shot for sure too.
With you as this team's captain, it's kind of a unique perspective when you talk about the relationship between you and the coach. What was your relationship like with Bob?
I had a great relationship with Bob. I mean, like you said, he was a coach. I know he pushed hard for me to be the captain of the team. And we had open communication every day when things were going well, when things weren't going well. A lot of one-on-ones and conversations, and I have a lot of respect for Bob. I mean, he trusted me, and he took a, you know, sort of put his neck out on the line there for me when he didn't have to. So I'll always respect that, and I just wish him the best. I hope you know, he'll find. I know he still wants to coach, and I hope he finds another spot where he can do that.
From a statistical perspective, you had by far your best seasons in the NHL with this coaching regime. How much credit do you give the coaching staff for kind of putting you in those situations and allowing you to have some of your best offensive seasons?
Yeah, no, for sure. I really enjoyed the way we played with, as far as being aggressive from the back end and jumping into the plane and having the green light. And yeah, absolutely. You have to put a lot of that into give a lot of credit to the coaching staff. I think, you know, whether it be the system or working on shots from the point and after practice with Jacques Boucher, I mean, that goes a long way every day, hammering home the details. So for sure, you become a better player when the details are preached, like they do, good sticks, good body position, it's one of those things. I think as an older player, you appreciate it. And then I think maybe as a younger player, some days it's hard to, you know, be told every day and maybe yelled at a little bit. But I think as you get older, you appreciate that it does make you, really does make you a better player.
Just a few more with the captain of the Calgary Flames, Mark Giordano, here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It was very clear that the team had a very set identity over the last few years, and that identity based on hard work and conditioning, and that was kind of really pushed by the coaching staff. Now that the coaching staff is going to change over, can that identity carry over? Is there a foundation that's been built that you can continue to work through?
Yeah, absolutely. I think those things you mentioned, I think, I know we had a tough season. I know there's always issues when things aren't going well and you're losing, but the group of guys we have in the room is a good group of guys who really get along. I've been on a lot of different, you know, I've been around for a lot of different player movement, and the group of guys we have, I feel like, is a really tight-knit group, and that's number one. I think that's very important. But I think last year at certain times, you know, we didn't have that same push and that same grinded through mentality that we had the year before. So we have to sort of straighten that out a bit and become more consistent. And then I'm sure the new coach will come in with a new system and little tweaks here and there. But I think as long as everyone buys in and everyone's on board with it, we'll be fine.
I know you were asked this on the final day at the Saddle Dome, and you've had a little bit more time to reflect on it now. Just how well positioned with this group of guys, and you kind of touched on it right there, but how positioned is this group of guys to bounce back and have a really strong season or a much stronger season this coming year?
Yeah, I think we're in a good spot. I think, we're not talking to Tree, and he has his vision of how we want to play. And we had a good conversation the other day about maybe, trying to have the puck a lot more. And we have the players to do that. That's the type of team we have. We have a lot of good, really good young players. So I think we're well positioned to be a good team for a lot of years. And I just look at it. I've been watching, the playoffs closely. And I just think every year,
quarterback
to be like this, but I think every year now, there's a team that gets into the playoffs and goes, second, third round, maybe a little bit deeper and makes a run. And I think you're seeing it with San Jose this mm-hmm. year. And I just think every year there's those teams that get back in. And I think, we're not only trying to get back in, but we want to be a team that competes and makes long runs. So I think we're in a good spot to do that.
Just a final question for you, Mark. It's something that has been asked to us a lot, and we can't really answer the question because we're not in the locker room. But, we get it on text and we get it on email and all that type of stuff. And you're the best guy to ask. I think I know the answer because you've already kind of gone down that road, but I think it's an important one to ask. Did Bob Hartley, quote-unquote, lose the room? Or is that something that we kind of talk about too often on the outside?
Yeah, no, I don't think he lost the room at all. I just think, when things aren't going bad or going well, the way the season started, we got behind, and I think as a group, the expectations were high. We just felt the pressure. We really did. We pushed. We were maybe guilty of trying to get it all back at once. To say, it. I mean, I don't think he lost the room. I think what happens is, when you're winning, you can sort of sweep some things under the rug and push them aside. But when you're losing, and little problems become big problems very quickly. So, no, I think his message was to be a hardworking team that played with really good details and play well defensively. And at the end of the day, we as players just failed to do so this year. We were inconsistent, and I thought that was our biggest knock against us. Was we had it for spurts, but nowhere near long enough.
Mark, I really appreciate the honesty today, and really appreciate you taking some time out of your summer to chat. So thanks so much for doing that, and enjoy the rest of your summer, hey?
Okay, Pat, you too, man.
That's Mark Giordano, the captain of the Calgary Flames. The critical takeaway for me is the appreciation that he showed, not only for Bob Hartley, but for Jacques Cloutier, the work that they put in. I think it's easy, Pat, and I'm as guilty as the next guy when something, he got fired. Well, I could see it. It's this, and this. And, I find that everybody looks at the last couple of months and goes, well, it was terrible. It was all this. You really do have to take a moment and understand that there was actually some really good. There was a lot of – Bob Hartley did a lot of things that were really important for this team. Do I understand why they moved away? Sure, I do. But you got a really good, straight answer, I thought, from Mark Giordano when you asked him about the room and whether or not he lost the room. He says he didn't.
Yep. Yeah, and talked a lot about getting put in the opportunities to really succeed. And again, you and I talked about this earlier. It's not as if Mark Giordano wasn't going to continue developing into the defenseman he was and probably would have been named a captain elsewhere. But fact is, the opportunities were given by this coaching staff and the way, and he talked about it, the way that this team encouraged their defenders to jump into the rush and the green light that the group of defensemen had on pretty much every single night, it really played into a lot of the success that Mark was able to have. So I think in a lot of ways, very similar to what you heard from Sean Monahan 2 days ago when talking about how disappointing it is that they kind of felt like they let the coach down, how grateful they were for the time, but also understanding it's a business, and now it's time to move on and really take this as a wake-up call.
We'll find out. The Flames have cast it a wide net. We'll find out who their next coach is. Mark Crawford's going to join us later on. I do want to – this is not going to be me interviewing Mark Crawford for the Flames job. I just want people to know that. This is a long process, and the timing is what it is. And Mark is certainly looking for an NHL job, but we're reaching out to Mark a long time ago to talk about Austin Matthews. So I guess we'll kill a couple of cats with one stone, whatever you like. We're at South Center Burger Company. What?
Yeah. And we're...
What? I don't know.
Just... I caught the cat reference.
I caught it.
We're supposed to be a
don't
very
like
inclusive radio station.
Don't like cats.
We have no prejudice.
Don't like cats.
Except against cats and pigeons.
No.
I love cats.
You're the
pigeon.
Oh.
Rhett loves cats. Hold Boomer, on. Boomer's got an animal that he's anti too. I just don't remember what it is. You're anti cat.
Yep.
I'm anti pigeon.
Well, based on Periscope, I think Boomer's anti ringneck pheasant.
Pheasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cannot stand ringneck pheasants. Where are we?
South Street Burger Company is where we are today. 255 East Hills Boulevard Southeast, the East Hills Shopping Center, which is brand new. Walmart's been open for a little while, but the rest of the shopping center has really started to grow around it. And for 3 weeks now, South Street Burger Company has been open here. This is the fourth location in Calgary. Best way to find it, two ways. Stoney Trail, take it to 17th. It's just east of Stoney, and just follow the Walmart. It's your landmark. Or go east on 17th Avenue, just past Stoney again. You can't miss it once you see the Walmart. All of the sales today going to be matched by South Street and donated to relief efforts in Fort McMurray as well. So it's always a good day to come grab a burger, but today, an even better day to come grab a burger and some fries from South Street.
Lots to do this afternoon, including Cassie Campbell-Pascal. She'll join us about 5:25 this afternoon. Murray Sigler from Sport Calgary is going to join us. We need a field house, folks. We need it now. Come back. We've got a lot to talk about. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary sports fans get their fix on The Big Show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960.
We encourage you, if you are so inclined, to make a $10 donation to assist with relief in Fort McMurray. You can do so by texting FIRES, F-I-R-E-S, to 45678. That's FIRES, F-I-R-E-S, to 45678. You can visit mymcmurray.com for updates and more information as it happens. As we are all waking to what is a very serious situation in northeastern Alberta, it's been amazing to watch the outpouring of support. Both Rogers and Bell yesterday making $100,000 donations. The Calgary Flames, the Edmonton Oilers making $100,000 donations.
St. Louis Blues are going to donate their proceeds of the 50-50 draw tonight to relief efforts.
CFL has made a significant contribution. The National Hockey League just announcing here in the last 15 minutes that they will make a $100,000 donation to the Red Cross. It's happening everywhere. It's happening here, as a matter of fact, at the brand-new South Street Burger Company location, 17th Avenue, Stoney Trail Southeast. Brian from South Street Burger joins us now. And, Brian, you are like a lot of us right now, paying close attention to what's going on up there and chipping in where you can. You're helping out today.
Absolutely. We're going to match our sales from today and donate that via the Red Cross for the folks up in Fort Mac. Yeah, crazy situation. Want a special shout out to my cousin Matt, who's a Lacombe firefighter, and he's on standby right now. I just texted him actually to see if he had been deployed yet, but just a shout out to him.
Well,
pretty
he's
brave.
I mean, I don't want to speak for emergency services. He'll be going because this fire is so big that they're going to have to take ships and replace people up there. And let's hope and pray that it's only Fort McMurray we're talking about this summer, because it's not looking good right now.
Yeah, we also have in all our locations donation boxes, and including our New York Fry locations, all 11 stores. You can, when you come see us, or just even walking by, donate some cash, and we'll funnel that right directly to the Red Cross and those folks in for the wildfires. Absolutely.
That's awesome. 100%. Congratulations for doing it.
Happy to.
And a more, I guess, a more positive note. What a location. This place is spectacular. It's, as I said to Pat, it's still got the new car smell to it.
Yeah, it does, actually. You're right. I didn't even think of it that way, but it has. Yeah, it's a little bit different design for us. Some lots of TVs, and we feel it's pretty comfortable, and some beer on tap. And we're not a bar by any means, but certainly, you know, it's that comfortable atmosphere. You bring your kids, stop in just for a pint or a burger, whatever you like. Yeah, come and see us.
It goes without saying, as a father of two and a husband and a son, to be at a shopping place and like this that has a Costco and a Walmart, to be able to take a break from all of it, just come in, you know, relax, enjoy, you say, watch a game or two.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an oasis in this area.
Oh, for sure, and that's what we hope to do at all our stores, but this one in particular, absolutely come and just have a little bit of a break or drop mom and the kids off and come over yourself or bring the kids with you, and kids can watch the hockey game on the TV too. Yeah. and just relax for a few minutes anyway. Absolutely.
So we talked a little earlier. Let's talk a little bit more about the actual burgers themselves. So made to order, like we're not talking about heat lamps. We're not talking about microwaves. Absolutely. You can see that in different places. Yeah. You order your 6 ounce, your 4 ounce, or you've got the made to order, the nacho burger, the Hawaiian, like all of this stuff is made to order. So you're getting a fresh patty.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't put it on the grill until you order. And we have some different options. Certainly build your own at any time. But some signature burgers, like you said, the Nacho or the True North, where you come in, make it easy. Hey, that's what I want. And you know, move along. So we're quick service, but we're not fast food. We're kind of in between. We're kind of the evolution of the whole thing. We'll bring it to your table. You sit down. And like we said, you know, some free Wi-Fi, have a beer. You know, we even have outlets along the wall so you can plug.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so you can even plug in and get recharged and do all that sort of stuff, too.
Now, the fries are a big thing, too. Like, these are not frozen fries.
No,
these are fresh cut.
Absolutely fresh cut. Alberta potatoes, sunflower oil, all that sort of thing. Fresh cut, actually hand cut. All the time, all day. So,
tell me about the idea for the suds. Like, how'd you come upon this idea to blend the craft beer to the experience?
You know, we saw an opportunity that a customer, you know, we wanted to differentiate ourselves from some of the other brands, number one. Number two, we saw a customer that, like we talked about, dad or whatever, wants to come in and try something a little different. Wanted to connect locally with Village Brewery in town. Those folks have been amazing. Actually, shout out to them, too. Local as much as we can, local brewery, and come have a something different, just not a bottle beer, not just a pop. You know, you come and have a half pint or a pint of craft beer.
And the gluten-free options. When you were on just before 2 o'clock, somebody texted in and said, thank him for all the gluten-free options, too. So if you need gluten-free, you're going to get your fill.
It's
here
funny because
right?
There's a whole bunch of folks that are celiac and gluten-free that texted me right after. Dude, don't forget to mention how great you guys are about that, too. So we've developed a pretty good process and program here where, you know, we can't say we're totally gluten-free because there is bread in the environment. But certainly, you know, gluten-free bun, gluten-free toppings come in and ask for it, and we'll make it up for you. So a big following with that, too, absolutely.
Big following. How important are you, Brian? Because I've done a lot
I'm
of these.
I'm not important at all.
No, I mean, I've done a lot of these, and I don't think I've ever had a guest draw as many people in close like you have for this particular conversation. It is absolutely amazing to me the number of people that need to hear what you're saying right now.
Well, no, I'm not important at all, but I offered some free beer to some people, so then all of a sudden, you know, you get a crowd of people.
The age-old free beer, right? Never goes wrong.
Not important at all.
I have a habit on this program of talking out of turn and saying things that I shouldn't say, and I'm going to do that again this afternoon because I want to take the opportunity on behalf of Pat, myself, Will, Jason, Boomer, Ryan, and Rhett for thanking you guys for stepping up, because as I understand it, moving here in the near future, people are going to join us here on the South Street Burger guest hotline, which I think is really cool to have you guys associate and put your faith behind us.
A round of applause.
Standing ovation.
Well, these guys weren't doing it. I thought that's what you brought them here for, so somebody had to applaud you.
No, we're going to work with you folks, certainly year-round, I think. We're going to do some things with you guys. No, it's a great relationship with the Fan 960. It works for us, and a lot of our customers are big fans of yours, too, so we're happy to be part of the family, I guess.
Well, we are.
Definitely
big,
are.
We are big fans of yours. Brian, again, thanks for... Pat and I have had the most awkward day today because we don't get comfortable seats like this, and I'm not sure if I should stretch out. I'm not sure if it's cool to put my...
Maybe.
You could, absolutely.
You could position. Have Frenchie dumb. You know, he could massage your feet,
no,
maybe.
No. But, I mean, no. It's good, Frenchie. You're fine where you are. Brian, can't thank you guys enough for being such great hosts and inviting us in here again, and we really look forward to continuing the relationship, especially with you guys putting your name on the guest hotline. So thanks for doing that.
No, thanks for coming out. Always happy to have you folks here. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, you'll hear from Dan Shulman from ESPN Sunday Night Baseball and Sportsnet's Jays coverage as well. Sportsnet? Did we say Sportsnet? Well, you'll sure hear from Chris Johnston from Sportsnet. He's going to join us at 4:45. We'll talk some NHL with him. Mark Crawford from Zurich, the Zurich Lions, although I don't think he's with Zurich anymore. So he's a free agent coach. We're going to talk to him. Yes, if you like conspiracy theories, you can certainly view this in that frame. I wouldn't, Pat, because you know as well as anybody that this has been 11 months in the making.
Yes.
We finally got Mark Robert.
No, you got him on because he's going to make his pitch to be Flames coach.
That's
the
not
only
it.
Reason he's coming.
No, that's not it at all. We're going to talk to him about Austin Matthews. And we'll also talk to him. No, we will talk to him about coaching. Cassie Campbell-Pascal is going to join us. And Murray Sigler from Sports Calgary. All coming up. We're live this afternoon here at South Street Burger Company, 17th Avenue Southeast and Stoney Trail. Come down and say hello to us. And, of course, anything purchased today will be matched by Brian and the gang and be donated to the Red Cross to help with the relief efforts up in Fort McMurray. When we come back, Will Melton, headline, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.